Tape recorded message number TL544. Otis Q. Sellers, Bible Teacher. I greet you in the faith and fellowship of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are, whom we love, and whom we serve. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the 25th chapter of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 25, we begin our reading today with verse 13. Permit me to say before I begin that there are well over 900 proverbs or maxims, these sententious sayings, in this book. They speak truth. It may not be truth for today, or truth that is even operating today. But the time will come, under divine government, when he who searches the hearts and minds of men, we will find that these will work perfectly. In the beginning with the 13th verse, and I'm going to first of all read this in the King James Version, chapter 25, verse 13. Just a moment here. I've got the wrong place in my Bible. 26, verse 13. I've been giving you the wrong chapter here. 26 and verse 13. It says, the slothful man. That is, he's a sluggard, as we used to say. Just the lazy man. He can always find an excuse for not going out and doing something. He says, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. That's what it have in King James Version. In the Farrar Fenton Version, it reads like this. There's a wolf on the road, says the sluggard. A lion opposeth my path. I can't go out there, he says. And then it says, as a door turns on its hinges, so the sluggard turns on his bed. Though the sluggard dips hand in the dish, it exhausts him to lift it to his mouth. Yet an idler thinks himself wiser than those who can speak good sense. Beginning with the 17th verse, Solomon is dealing here with those who make mischief. He goes to take a dog by his ears, who joins in a quarrel that is not his. Yes, there are so many things, so many people are just looking for some cause to join because there's a quarrel on. They want to be in the quarrel, that's all. That's just like the one who takes the wild dog by the ears, who joins in a quarrel not his. Like a fool hurling darts, fire and death, is the man who deceives his neighbor, then exclaims, I'm only in sport. His companion, then after he's done the damage, says, I'm only in sport, I'm only joking. In verse 20 it says, a fire goes out without fuel, and without a talebearer, a tattler, quarrels cease. Like charcoal and wood to fire is a quarrelsome man starting strife. The words of a whisper, like sweet, go down to the depths of the breast. Like silver dross in a smeltery, a furnace, are double lips and a wicked heart. Hatred lodges under his lips, and deception rests in his breast. Though his voice is pleasant, trust not, for his heart is fully corrupt. Though he deceitfully hide his hate, in public his malice appears. Many dig the pit for his fall, and his flung stone turns on himself. His lying tongue hates those that wounds, and his flattering mouth those it ruins. Now, chapter 27. This chapter deals with what we might well call the uncertainties of life, where it says, boast not yourself for tomorrow. You know not what that day may bring. Verse 2. Let a stranger praise you, not your own mouth, another's lips, but not your own lips. A stone is heavy, this is verse 3, and sand is a load, but a fool's fury more heavy than both. Fury is fierce and a raging flood, but who can stand before jealousy? Better open reproof than hidden love. The reproofs of a friend preserve, but an enemy's kisses betray. The sated, that is those who have eaten to the full, he loathes a honeycomb, but to the hungry, bitter is sweet. Like a bird strayed from its nest is a man exiled from his home. Oil and perfumes delight the heart, and a good friend advising a man. Yes, he also delights the heart. Forsake not your friend or your father's friend, nor enter your brother's house in the day of your distress, for a friend is better near than a brother who keeps afar. Be wise, my son, and delight my heart as an answer to him who insults. The prudent sees danger, and he hides. The reckless go on, and they suffer. Take his cloak, who is bail for a stranger, and a pledge from a immoral woman's friend. He who rises at early dawn, with shouts give thanks to his friend, will be thought to be cursing him. A drizzling shower on a rainy day and a quarrelsome wife, that's the nagging wife, are a pair. Restrain her will restrain the north wind and the scent on your hand if you can. As iron shapes iron or sharpens iron, and any butcher who knows his knives and who knows his steel will tell you that the best sharpener for steel is steel, the best sharpener for iron is iron. So a man does the face of his friend. Who tends the fig tree eats its fruit, and who guards his master is thanked. As water shows a face to a face, so the heart of man shows to man. The grave and destruction are never filled. That is the 20th verse of this chapter. And this tells us that grave, death, and the state of death are never filled. And the eyes of man are unsated. Silver by smelting, gold by a furnace, but man is proved by what he praises. If you pound a fool in a mortar with wheat, his follies will not depart from him. This is the result of carefulness. Carefully learn the state of your flocks. Set your heart on the care of your herds. For wealth will not last forever, nor a crown for the ages of ages. The next has to do with the fall of the year, with autumn. When the hay is mown, the pasture grows, and the mountain crops are gathered. The lamb then finds you clothing, and you sell fat goats from the field, and rich milk from the goats to feed you, to feed your house, and to nourish your girls. That is the word. It is feminine, and it has to do with the nourishment of the young. Especially the girls. The men are expected to look after themselves. Now this will be the result of criminal pursuits. This is beginning with the 28th chapter. It has to deal with those who pursue crime. The wicked fly when none pursue. The good are bold as a lion. By crimes of a land, its rulers change. But by human prudence, they endure. A poor man who oppresses the poor, like a sweeping storm, the hurricane, he brings want. And here now it begins to deal with good and bad conduct. Forsakers of law praise the bad. You'll always find this, that the forsakers of law praise the bad. But those that keep the law, they reprove them. Bad men understand not justice. They're always clamoring for justice, but they don't understand justice. But those who seek the Lord understand. More happy the poor honest man than one of bad habits, though rich. A prudent son will regard the law, but the friend of the vicious degrades his father. Who gets rich by extortion and fraud collects for the kind to the poor. Who turns his ear from hearing the law, his prayer itself is an offense. And I believe that anyone who turns their ear from the hearing of the Word of God, that when they pray, that prayer is just an offense to God. Who leads the honest to evil paths will fall to that pit himself, but the upright inherit success. In his own eyes, the rich is wise, but the sensible poor expose him. When the good is crowned, there is cheering. When the bad succeed, men will hide. Who conceals his sin does not prosper. Who confesses and leaves it has mercy. But you better make sure you confess it to God. You may feel better confessing it to men. But men talk. Who confesses and leaves it has mercy. The man who fears is safe, but the rash falls into danger. A hungry lion and a hungry bear is the same as a bad ruler is to the poor. An oppressive prince is senseless, but who hates to tax prolongs his days. It would have been good indeed if Solomon's son, Rehoboam, had given heed to this. A man who is guilty of murder, he flies to a pit that cannot hide. Who acts honestly is safe, but crooked ways soon fail. He has plenty of bread who tills his land, but is poor indeed who follows delusions. A faithful man has many blessings, but who hastes to be rich will suffer. False pretenses are not good, nor to sin for a mouthful of bread. It's not good. A greedy man runs after wealth. He does not reflect that want may come. Who corrects men like me finds favor, far more than a flattering tongue. Who thinks to rob father and mother, not wrong. Anyone that thinks that, to rob father and mother is not wrong. You know, it's coming to me, I'm going to get it anyway, I'll get it now. Has joined with the men of destruction. A greedy mind incites to contend, but who trusts on the Lord will prosper. Who relies on his heart is a fool, but he who walks by experience is safe. He who gives to the poor will not want. Who averts his eyes will be cursed. When the bad succeed, men hide, but the good increase when they perish. A man who stiffens his neck, when broken will find no help. That's starting now the 29th chapter. When the good succeed, the people rejoice, but when the bad govern, men groan. A man who loves wisdom brings joy to his father, but the friends of harlots, he surrenders his wealth. A king strengthens his land by justice, but a man of taxation exhausts it. A man who flatters his neighbor is spreading a net for his neighbor's feet. There is a trap in a bad man's sin, but the good can sing and rejoice. The good will examine the pleas of the weak. The bad troubles not to inquire. The seditious set states in a flame, but the wise will remove discontent. If a wise man discuss with a fool, by frowns or by smiles he persuades not. The murderous have hate of the honest, but the upright will find esteem. A blockhead shows all his intention, but the wise keeps it quietly back. If a ruler attends to deceptions, if he can be deceived, then all his officials turn villains. The poor and oppressors encounter. They are both in the eyes of the Lord. The king who faithfully governs the poor will establish his throne forever. Just remember here now that these words are spoken by a king who had his throne from God. If he had faithfully governed the poor, he would have established his throne forever. Verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but an untrained child disgraces his mother. When the wicked succeed, vice grows, but the righteous will witness their fall. Chastise your son, discipline him, and he will comfort and give relief to your mind. Without revelation, a nation fades, but it prospers by knowing the law. A slave will not be corrected by words. Though he knows, he will not comply. Do you see a man quick in his words? Well, there's more hope for a fool than for him. Who humors his slave from youth will be despised by him at last. A patient man incites to strife, and a master of fury to sin. The pride of a man will depress him, but a man that submits will gain honor. Who shareth with a thief shares his life. Hears the oath, but will never inform. Human terror precipitates loss, but who trusts in the Lord will be safe. Men seek for the favors of rulers, but a man's justice should come from the Lord. A vile man disgusts the good, and the bad loathe the ways of the just. Now we begin here with the 30th chapter. These are the words of Agur, A-G-U-R. In the most of the manuscripts, you would read that these are the words of Agur ben Jacob, J-A-K-E-H. It would be Agur, son of Jacob, the righteous. This is the message, the prophecy, that he delivers, and he speaks to the atheist, the God rejecter, and the waster. It is rather interesting. Let's get into it. He says, though I am but an ignorant man, and I have not the genius of Adam, although I have never learned wisdom, nor know the science divine, of who mounts the skies and descends, who gathers the wind in his grasp, who spreads out the seas like a sheet, who fixes the bounds of the earth, what is his name and the name of his son? You see, God had a son from the very beginning. For in the beginning was the Word, and that Word was characterized as being the Son of God. What is his name and the name of his Son? Do you know? Do you know what his name is? Verse 5. Rely on the promise of God. He shields all who trust upon him. Add nothing to what he commands, lest for falsifications you suffer. And now he speaks here of the desire of the wise. I will ask two things from you. Take them not from me till death. Move delusions and falsehood afar. Nor poverty give me, nor wealth, but feed with the bread that I need, not full for fear I forget, and cry, tell me who is the Lord. Tell me, who is Yahweh? Or I become poor and should steal, rebel at the name of my God. That was his desire. Then in verse 10, he gives advice as to conduct. To his master, accuse not a servant, lest he curse you, and you are in wrong. Then he deals with depravity and conceit. There is an age that curses its fathers. We're living in such a time now, an age that despises and curses its fathers, and that cares not its mothers to bless. To honor father and mother has been almost completely forgotten in this time in which we live. An age in its own eyes perfect, but is never cleansed from its filth. An age, how haughty its glances, and its eyelids, how lifted up. An age with swords for its teeth, and for its jaw teeth sharp knives, to devour the weak of the earth, and the wretched among mankind. Lust, that is desire, possesses two daughters, who cry, give, give. There are three that are never glutted, that is never satiated. A fourth that says not enough. That's the grave, the closed-up womb, the earth unsated with water, and fire that says not enough. These are the four things that he sets forth. They never say enough. The death keeps swallowing up people. They go into the state of death. The earth never gets enough water. A fire will burn till there's nothing left to burn. Now, this has to do with the disobedience of children. The eye that laughs at its father, that disdains to obey its mother, the crow of the vale shall pick it out, and the eagle's young shall eat it. Now he sets forth four problems. To me these three are a wonder, and a fourth I understand not. The path of an eagle in the air. Have you ever watched anything of the eagle family, whether it's hawk or eagle or whatever it might be? What does it take that path? The path of an eagle in the air. The road of a snake on a rock, the course of a ship through the sea, and the power of the man over woman, and the way of a faithless wife, an immoral wife, when she wipes her mouth and exclaims, I have not committed a sin. A land trembles under these three, and under a fourth rests not, under a slave when he rules, and a brute who is gorged with his food, and a hateful woman when married, and a servant heir to her mistress. Then he speaks of four wise creatures upon the earth. These four are small on the earth, but they are the wisest of wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet in summer they store up their bread. Rabbits are not a powerful race, but they settle their homes in the rocks. The locusts have not any king, yet they all go out by their troops, their order. A spider that you can catch with your hands, yet she dwells in the mansions of kings. Now it deals with four stately creatures. These three are stately in step, and the fourth is grand in its walk. The lion, the strongest of beasts, that turns not his face in the hole, a greyhound as well as a goat, and a king at the head of his troops. Now he gives a final caution here. If you have displayed your folly, and if you have blundered, keep still. For churned milk produces butter, and wringing the nose brings blood. So churning anger produces strife. Now in the 31st chapter, we have here an address to the godless king. This came from the mother. Alas, my son, O son of my body, son of my vows, give not your strength to women, nor your ways to destroyers of kings. Is it not for kings, you godless, not for kings to be drunk with wine? Oh, for princes, or for princes to love strong drink. Lest you drink and forget the law, and forget to do right with the poor. Give drink to the ready to perish, and wine to the bitter in mind. Let him drink and forget his distress, and remember his misery no more. But open your mouth for the speechless. Plead for all the silent sons of distress. Open your mouth for true justice, and plead for the wretched, and poor. Now, wonderful advice from the mother to the king, and especially warning him against his indulgence in alcohol. I wonder how many terrible things that have happened, even in our own government, as we look back over its history, and especially its recent history, were done simply by men who were drunk and did not know what they were doing. Just what happened and what took place. We all know about the proclivities of Churchill for strong liquor, and we wonder if there were times when he agreed to certain things, if he would have done these things if he had been completely sober. So you can see that these things have an application. And were the men who brought the Watergate scandal upon us, were they inspired by strong drink, or what were they inspired by to do such foolish things? Well, now, as we come to the closing lines of this, Solomon's Proverbs, we come to the 10th verse. Now, this is a beautiful poem. Of course, when you take Hebrew poetry and turn it into English, well, that's like trying to take a French joke and tell it in English. And especially when it has to do with the turn, the subtle turn upon words, you can't reproduce it. If it was first spoken in French, you can't reproduce it in English. So there is no use for the men who search for humor to look for it outside of their own country, because they'll find very little. Because what's funny in France would not be funny in the United States. Well, but when we take poetry, Hebrew poetry, and turn it into English, we lose a lot. There's one reason why I've turned for R. Fenton's version, because he tries to produce the meter in the original way. Now, this is all made up in couplets, as you've noticed, really all the way through. Sometimes it's a triplet, even a quadruplet, but very seldom does that happen. But here, all the rest of this is just made up in couplets. And we're told by those who read it in the original, and this can be seen if you look at the Hebrew Bible, that every couplet of this from the 10th verse on, in the original, it begins in the original with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The first, we might say, is A, the next with B, and so forward to the final letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, this could not be reproduced in English. But you can preserve its literary form. It starts like this, and remember, each two lines make up a complete thought. Whoever finds a clever wife, her worth is more than pearls. Her husband's heart can trust on her, and he wants no supply. She gives him comfort in his grief while she remains alive. She works up the wool and the flax and spins them with her own hands. She, like the merchants with their ships, will bring home food from far, will rise at dawn to fix housework and give food to her girls, her daughters. She will survey and purchase a field. Her profits plant the farm. She girds her loins up with strength, invigorates her arms. She tastes her trading, brings her good, so lights her lamp at night. Her hands are to the shell stretched, the spindle she can drive. Her hands give out gifts to the poor. Her fingers help their needs. Now, many people believe that the wife in the days of the Hebrews was simply a slave, had no activities of her own, and so on. It is true that these women accepted many restraints, but nevertheless, when you find things like this, beginning there with the 13th verse, she works up the wool and the flax. She spins them with her own hands. Like the merchants with their ships, she brings home food from far. She rises at dawn to do the housework, to prepare the breakfast. She even will survey and purchase a field for her husband. Her profits will plant the farm. She girds her loins up with strength, invigorates her arms, and so on. That's the way it goes, and you can see that she just wasn't a poor slave. Notice it says of this woman, her family fears not the snow, for her household will be double clothes. She makes herself rugs for her bread, for the beds. That would be what we might call the comforters, the quilts, the blankets, but she makes herself rugs for her beds. In fact, originally rugs were put on beds. Her robes are purple lawn. She dresses well. Her husband's honored in the gates. Sits down amongst the peers. She makes and sells fine satin cloth, like Lydia, who was a seller of purple, and girdles to the trade. In strength and honor she is clothed, and at the future smiles. Her mouth with wisdom is unclothed. Kind law controls her tongue. Her household's conduct she controls, and she eats not idle bread. Her children rise and call her blessed. Her husband gives her praise. Many wise have acted well, but you surpass the whole. A form deceives, a shape, and beauty fades. A wife who fears the Lord is grand. Give her the product of her hands. Praise her works in the gates. And in this majestic description that is set forth, Solomon gives praise to his wife. And that's the way that the book of Proverbs ends. Wonderful woman set forth here. And in this the closing words of the book of Proverbs. Well, permit me to say that when I started this study in the book of Proverbs, I felt that I could not do very much with it. And at first I wondered if people would want just for me to be reading from a strange version. And I started out not intending to do it, but as I went on I thought, oh, you must do this, and I have done it. You see, I've told you already that there's well over 900 maxims in Proverbs. And if we had given a couple of minutes to each one of these, every one of them, in explaining exactly what it meant, but you can see if we'd have given 2 minutes, that would have taken 900 minutes. And when you divide that by 60, you see where you're getting here You've got 15 hours that you would just give to this alone. Now, I do not know exactly how many I have made, but I can tell you in a minute. There have been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There have been 8 messages in this, 43 minutes each. And so I could have used more time, but I didn't want to pile up that many tapes on Proverbs. And I trust you will receive this as being the very best that I could give to you in our present understanding of these things. Remember that this is Hebrew poetry, and every word of this meant much to the Hebrew who could read this as easy as you and I read the morning newspaper, with deals with things with which we're quite familiar. And yet I tell you that this wisdom that this contains will have its place in the kingdom of God, and those who know it will have wisdom for that time. Well, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ said in the book of Luke, "Blessed are they that hear the word of God." Well, now, I've heard the word by studying it, first of all, and then I've heard it by reading it to you. Every word that I've said here has made an impression upon my mind. I wish I still had the memory that could remember it all, not word for word, but just remember all that it has said. Because some of these things have shone forth with a new light. They've shone forth with a new glory as I've set them forth to you. And I have greatly profited myself. So if you don't get anything out of this, you can well know that the expositor, the reader, has got much out of it for himself. And let me have this little joy at least. Now, as we go on into other books, of course, we're going to not find this much difficulty in it, but we are going on to the book of Ecclesiastes, which is the next book in order in our English Bibles, and we will be dealing with that in our future studies. Well, that is all that I have to say at the present time. I want to thank you for being one of my listeners, for, as Shakespeare put it, when he had when he said, "Friends, Romans, and countrymen, lend me your ears." You have loaned me your ears, or lent me your ears, for the study of this, and I thank you for it. I have greatly enjoyed teaching you, and enjoyed most of all the blessing that comes to me from it. And so I bid you goodbye till we meet again around the pages of God's book. I am yours in truth, Otis Q. Sellers.